episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
This is Klaus Schwab. Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
You can't handle the truth.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
I'm so drunk, fuck, tonight. Open up to your bum.
A lot of my opinions would make me seem like a lunatic.
Absolute wanker. You blockheaded bastard.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Looks like a dick going towards an asshole to me.
I'm making fun of you.
Fellas, that you're so funny. The temporary ways, they're driving me crazy. So I'm taking your back.
Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
Dirky pig in a pokey, yes. It's Saturday the 14th of June, 2025. Rick and Roro 0034 Nostalgia Hour. How do you feel?
I feel like a tweet.
Are you back?
Are you back?
Oh, if only we had Bella said here. I would like to play the song. I would like to play the song Welcome Back. You know the Welcome Back Cotton song? Yeah, yes, welcome back to Australia because
thank you, Roller.
What's it?
You had a fantastic.
Were you in the North Smelly Island where the North Island Highway is Rotorua and the South Island is the island of the long white cloud?
Oh no, Roller. No, your geography is as bad as mine. But you've actually done more. You've probably seen more of New Zealand than I have because I really am terribly unwell traveled.
Okay, stick it up. Yeah,
I've never been to the South Island. Never.
Wow.
And hopeless. I don't know. And my daughter has driven almost the entire country up to the top and down to the bottom. But she hasn't been to Stewart Island.
I'm going to talk to my wife. She's ringing me on the phone. You keep going. Okay. Tell me about your holiday.
You talk to your phone. You're listening to Rick and Rollo 34.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Hey, Rick, get this. My wife just called me because she left the keys here and she can't get in. Should I let her in? Leave her out there?
She'll kick the door.
Rick says, Come and say hello to
Hello, Christy. Go and open the door for God's
sake. Say thank you for letting me in.
Thank you for letting me in.
That's no joke. Yeah. Well done.
All right, Rollo, episode 34 of Rick and Roll.
34. Do you know what the biggest – I remember the biggest number 34 is – it's the ninth number of the Fibonacci sequence. Do you know that?
No.
When you do the Fibonacci, do you know how the Fibonacci sequence works? Yeah,
yeah, I do.
34 is the ninth. It's awesome. I love that. I love number 34.
You're talking Dave J here. Who knows all
that? Okay. Keep going about your trip. How was your trip?
I just say that rather the North Island, where I have been a fair bit, but not right to the top and not to some. I've been to fuck all over. It's terrible. But anyway, I haven't been back there for 14 years, I think it was.
Okay.
Or 13 years or something like that. And when last time we went back as a, you know, family, we hired one of those juicy vans, juicy, that bright green and purple company. And we had a...
I remember them well, yeah. They're tiny little vans. Yeah, they're awesome.
No. We had five of us sleeping in it. The kids were small enough to sleep up the top.
That's brilliant.
And, so I haven't been back since then. Now they're all, you know, various 6'3", 6', and 5'10".
Yeah.
So there's no way they'd fit in the camper van.
A little juice.
So my daughter, she is just incredible, that girl. She is absolutely incredible. She organized this whole thing, paid for my ticket. Well, the kids bought my ticket for my 60th birthday.
Oh.
Very nice. She organized the hire car, and she did it so much cheaper. But look, my father or people like me ring up travel agents. You get, she got a hire car for 5 days for like $168 or something, some ridiculous amount. And it was a really nice little Toyota, gutless car. But get this, she booked us into a backpackers that her friend worked at in Wellington. I'll shout it out too. It's called Trek. Now, I had my own room, like quite a big room with a big fridge. No, you know, like a decent sized fridge. TV working, big double or queen bed, all clean with beautiful sheets. And for $50 a fucking night, can you believe it?
Great.
And I was unbelievable. And I could not believe, because normally I pay $200-something a night for a hotel. Which I did on the way back. We stayed in an Airbnb for $200-something. But they're going to say Wellington rocks, man. It is a cool, cool city. And it's cool metaphorically and literally, because it's right on the end of the South Island, and you can get the ferry to the South Island from Wellington. It's incredibly windy sometimes. And coming in there, Rollo, you'd love this. Flying into Wellington. They train pilots from around the world. Do a lot of their training landing in Wellington Airport, because it's so, it's like, you know, you think you're going to flip over sideways. It really does come in, you know. I can't believe my last time I flew on an airplane, Rollo, going to Vietnam, you know, 6 years ago, whatever it was, 7 years ago. Now that the air flight, the entertainment, I flew Qantas, right? The in-flight entertainment doesn't, but back in the old days, they used to remove, there would never be a movie like Airplane on your in-flight. Right? They removed things like that, and they used to censor the swear words and stuff. Now it's full on. I watched that movie, and I cannot believe this. As we were landing, coming back from Australia, I watched that movie, with that new one that Mel Gibson directed, about the crazy pilot. Mark Wahlberg plays the crazy pilot. Honestly, as we were flying and the plane was going sideways, I was watching a film about a crazy pilot, you know, almost crashing a plane continuously. And they allow that now. That's changed. Things have changed.
Wow.
It's a really good movie, though. I highly recommend it. I didn't see the whole thing, but Qantas was fantastic. And the accommodation, we went to Whanganui, where my brother's wedding was, and that was fantastic. It's a really old, one of the oldest towns in New Zealand, and full of old buildings, and my ancestors came from there, you know, when they come from Scotland and England, they went to Whanganui. I loved it. I had a really good time. Anyway, enough about me, but it was awesome, Rollo. Absolutely.
No, that's awesome, because did you go to Jake the Muscles pub?
That would have to have been Auckland. If you mean the Once Warriors?
Yeah, that's the one.
Can you believe that was on TV when I was there? That it's like the most famous New Zealand movie ever, and actually had it was on TV.
I would say the most. What would you call it? The movie you're thinking about? It's called Flight Risk.
Flight Risk.
Mark Wahlberg. Yeah. It gets 30% on Rotten Tomatoes.
30%.
And it goes from the maker of Braveheart from the award. Apparently, he's really crappy. Flight Risk. I've never seen it. Yeah.
I look funny new, but I will also watch. I'll tell you what I did watch for free. The brand new that hasn't been released here yet, Led Zeppelin documentary. That's fantastic. Okay. I was sick of Led Zeppelin, but after watching that, I kind of liked them again. Really?
Led Zeppelin's my father's favorite band. So,
well, there's a documentary. It's going to be part one. They're going to have to make at least three because they covered up to 1970.
Were they accused of stealing Stairway to Heaven, or was Stairway to Heaven
by me? Continuously, and they lost. Yeah, the band Spirit. There's a band called Spirit that was Randy California.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah, and they took the intro to the band, a song called Taurus, T-A-U-R-U-S, the star.
Yeah, you brought that up. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But something you'll always remember. Yeah.
They flogged a heap of their stuff, but in this movie they kind of.
A lot of bands. Is it called influence or
I call it plagiarism.
Yeah, that's right.
But anyway, it's a really good documentary. Highly recommended for you, any Led Zeppelin fans out there.
So again, what's it called?
Led Zeppelin. How he began or the beginning. It's basically.
All right,
It only goes to 1970, so that's 1 year. So they're obviously going to try and milk this documentary for the Led Zeppelin fans out there and get four, possibly, movies out of it. But anyway, I'll tell you what I did watch, Rollo.
Go for it.
Captain America, the one with that got terribly panned and everything, with it, you know, it's got a black Captain America now. And it's got, what's his name, Han Solo, doing a Han Solo.
I found it. It's called Becoming Led Zeppelin.
Becoming Led Zeppelin. Yeah. 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
10 out of 10. Yeah. I'll probably watch this.
It's my father's favorite band. All right.
It was one of my father's favorite bands as well, but,
my favorite song is, it's not everyone would say Stairway to Heaven, the greatest hits. Let's just go through it.
Black Dog.
Black Dog.
When the Levee Breaks.
There we go. Here we go. Let me look.
Good times.
They're great.
I can name them all. I can go through.
Good. Good. But I like that. Good times, bad times.
Bad times.
We've had a few.
And I'm telling you, the footage that they had, and they had an interview with John Bonham that's never ever been played before, but it was audio only. Never ever been played before. But look, as far as music documentaries on a band go, a fast value in people like that,
have as big an issue as, like, you know, as the fellow from who was the drummer from
Keith Moon?
Keith Moon, John Bonham, and
good friends, very good.
Were they both having issues with, like, substance?
Yes, cocaine. Yeah. They had a huge cocaine. So if you read, there's a couple of really, I think it's called Hammer of the Gods. They had kilos of the stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
So did Black Sabbath as well. They arrived just as cocaine was coming from the CIA through the South America, you know, whatever, when they started running cocaine before crack came out. But when it really,
oh yeah,
the black people of America. cocaine was rampant. And they were, look, Hammer of the Gods is a good book. If anyone's out there likes it,
they're definitely. Yeah, yeah.
Can you hear me clearly? Because my microphone's probably in a funny
position. No, you're coming through. You're coming through pretty clear.
But the shittier the microphone, the better the sound. Wow, well,
you sound. Look at that. You just came good there.
Well, because I just pulled the microphone out of my jacket.
Is that what you did?
Anyway, but I like now Captain America. What was it called? New World Order.
Yeah,
because I was watching it for free because I think I've got Scottish.
It's got
blood.
Anthony Mackie. Anthony Mackie is the, the guy that doesn't like America. Yeah, I know. He's awful.
The black guy.
Yeah.
He's just another
because he should play just the offsider to Captain America.
He was the offsider to Captain America in the Avengers movies, and he's just another clone of. What's his name? Smith. Will Smith. He looks like Will Smith too.
Yeah, he does.
When they put those Bono
glasses on, the rose tinted glass. Yeah,
And there's a beer there. That's another thing. I've spoken to about it years ago when I was on about how come they all wear them. This is going back in the old archives of fakeologists. But rose colored glasses. There's a reason they do it for sure because Jimmy Savile always wore them.
Ooh, what a beast that guy.
Have you seen Steve Coogan's performance as Jimmy Savile? I haven't watched it. I haven't. Apparently, it's good.
It's pretty good. I've only seen the shorts. I haven't seen the actual film. Mm. Let's go to Ramble On, Immigrant Song, Rock and Roll, Dazed and Confused, When the Levee Breaks, Whole Lot of Love, Whole Lot of Love, Communication Breakdown, Going to California, Cashmere. Oh, look, I want to talk Cashmere about. Can I talk about Rick? About an RIP. On the 11th of June, it's a fella called Brian Wilson.
Who needs Velocet? Who needs Velocet when I'm in the room?
Brian Wilson. Do you remember him?
Passed away. Yeah, of course I do. The Beach Boys. The main guy from the Beach Boys. But can I just say this? I'm suspecting that they were, because the Wrecking Crew played all the fucking instruments on a Beach Boys song. None of those guys played a fucking note, guaranteed. That was all. So therefore, it was all. They needed that music to come out. It was very part of this whole culture creation, and it was a part of a. It was getting the surf culture and getting the teenagers loosened up, ready for the drug thing that was going to come in a few more years' time. That's how they do things, and they influenced the Beatles, although I would say that the same people that were running the Beatles thing
Beatles copied them.
And it was that album Pet Sounds that came out, and it had that incredible song, which I still say is one of the best songs ever, Good Vibrations.
Good Vibrations is his Smile.
You know this? Are you Googling it? You're doing good, right?
No, I've got it right in front of me. Mm. Yeah, so Pet Sounds, Wouldn't It Be Nice? But my favorite songs was Good Vibrations.
I could sing in a high pitch voice. Honestly, Rick.
Kokomo.
Yes. That was a new song. Rollo, that's a new song. And do you know how many people wrote that? There's about five songwriters on that, including John Phillips from the Mamas and the Papas. There was five songwriters involved with that song, Kokomo. It's a great song.
I think it's because Brian Brown was in the movie with Cocktail.
Came out the same time.
But I, every time I hear that song, Kokomo, it reminds me of just when I left home and I'd gone to Sydney in 1988. You know, mama, pretty mama. Yeah.
But yeah, John, Papa John Phillips, really another military background, guaranteed. He's the main guy that wrote that song, plus about three other people. Yeah. So it's amazing. You know, like a lot of changing the subject, kind of, but not really. John Farnham's biggest songs, right? You know, You're the Voice and a whole lot of them.
Yeah.
They were written by a group of people, including the guy from Manfred Mann, a Kiwi, forget his name, he's a Kiwi that was the lead singer for Manfred Mann in the 70s. There was about seven or eight people wrote The Voice, you know, You're the Voice. But these are epic songwriting team ups that to make these big hits.
Sure.
Mm. And that is a good song.
Take a big swig.
I will.
What do you got in your hand?
Zero carb Han. Mm-hmm. I just bought a case of it.
Well, I've got my usual James Bay premium lager. I want to go
Right beer.
Apparently the guy is.
No one else
died this week, apart from a whole bunch of people in Israel, because we're in World War III, because Israel and Iran are going against each other.
America is providing, and England providing. All the infrastructure but Israel gets the glory. They say it was the Israelis. I guarantee you the pilots are all British. And I'll tell you who one of them is. I guarantee it.
Get for it.
Yeah, the brother of Ewan McGregor. Ewan McGregor, okay. You know, the actor.
Yeah, his brother is
a high level fighting. I mean, he's an ace, but he's up there.
Wow.
Fighter pilot. Yeah. And he'd still be in there. I'd say he's still going.
Well,
they're just using jets that go faster than you can even see, and they've got. This is what happens: they send in a team of special forces dressed up as nuns, or you'd never know who they were, and they just set laser sights up on infrastructure. Right? They just stay in a building, pretend to be a backpacker or whatever, but they'll be setting up a laser sight, just pointing at that building, and these planes come over the top. No one even, and they fire weapons at. You know, they don't miss, and they'll just be taking that infrastructure that they're going to charge the taxpayers in America and England to rebuild when they destroy their, power stations and water treatment plants and blah, blah, blah. I'm telling you, America and England are well over, worse than the Nazis, what they accused the Nazis of.
Oh, yeah.
These are the people doing all the damage, guaranteed.
Rick, one second. Chrissy, do you want me to read this? Chrissy's got a story. Look, I've got plenty more to talk about, but my wife wants me to read what she just wrote in front of me. Ready?
Okay. You better get married first.
She says, my uncle, who was born in America and is now an Australian citizen.
After the break.
Would you believe it? Rick and Rollo.
Rick and Rollo 44.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate.
It's Friday the 13th of June 2024.
No,
it's Saturday the 14th of June 2025.
Jeez, Rollo.
Rick and Rollo, 34, Nostalgia Hour. That was a joke, see? Did you hear I came out? Friday the 14th, 13th.
I'm just going to double check that. It's Saturday the 14th, Rollo, not Friday.
It is Saturday the 14th, but yesterday was Friday. Do you know how everyone's all afraid of Friday the 13th?
Yes.
Well, I was never afraid of it. Anyway, my wife wants me to read this. My uncle, who was born in America and is now an Australian citizen for nearly his whole life, is not allowed to go to the US without a US passport. To get one, he has to renounce his Australian citizenship.
Really?
So how about that? That's what my wife. My wife does not fucking
ask her how old he is. Ask her
how old is your uncle? 80 years old.
That's incredible.
76, 80 years old. Yeah.
So he has to renounce his Australian citizenship to go back to America.
She just wrote that. She wrote that in front. I saw it.
Wow. That's a very interesting thing, Roller.
Well, that's a crazy world we live in. Yeah.
Well, look, I can just tell you this, Roller. The time I spent in New Zealand, I have stopped, so I didn't read the media. I did not watch TV or did I? No, I watched movies and stuff.
Hey, Rick.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah. Yeah. No. Good. That's an interesting story, Christy.
Yeah, yeah, like he didn't realize his passport had run out last year, and he got onto the embassy to try and get it renewed. And they said, oh, no, you can't renew it, you've got to reapply. And then they said, no, the new rules under Trump, you have to renounce your Australian citizenship.
That's incredible. I bet they're not doing that to all the Israelis with dual passports and things like that.
Oh, of course not. No.
What, but isn't that should be a story in the news? Actually,
apparently
that's a story that's worth talking about.
Yeah, apparently there was a guy in West Australia, similar thing, born in the US but lived in Australia his whole life. He'd been going to Harvard, and he'd completed Harvard. And he was
so he's fairly well educated.
Yeah, pretty smart guy. He went back to the US to get his diploma, like, you know, they have the graduation. Yeah. And they arrested him and said he was an illegal.
Hell. Oh, wow. It sounds like America's going all a bit Germany 1938.
Oh, it's crazy. And my cousins
that's really
who live. And my cousins, because he's going to Canada, but he was going to go down into America to see my cousons.
Mm.
And
is this on your mother's side, your mother or your father's
side? Yeah, on my mum's side.
Right, yeah.
So it's her sister's.
So it's not
husband.
The Wiggles side, I'll just say that. The Wiggles side is your
no,
father's
no.
side.
No.
Yeah, okay, got you.
Yeah, so. And he was going to come down down to San Francisco near where they live to see them, but now he's not going to be able to.
That's incredible. That's a new. I'm talking when I say newsworthy. Rick and Rollo breaks the best stuff, guaranteed.
Oh yeah,
but,
they do.
but that should be on the mainstream news, because you know how the mainstream news likes attacking Trump and how America's going.
Yeah.
That's a really big story, Christy.
And even
I can't believe
like,
I haven't heard of it before.
I know. And
Rick and Roy,
and
breaking news. Guaranteed.
And even my cousins, so Susie and Cindy, or I think actually Julie was gonna take because Susie's about Uncle Sam's age. So she was going to take them up to Vancouver and meet him there. But then they've been advised, up to Canada, but they've been advised that it may be difficult getting back in.
That sounds like America has closed off the borders literally for like,
yeah.
Even, you know, Because I'll tell you now, they've got an awful lot of interest in America. Sorry, in Australia. They've got Pine Gap and military bases left, right, and centre. And yet they're treating the Australians. To be honest, when you go to England, you have to queue up behind, you know, even though we've got the English flag on our thing and we have to bow and curtsy to King Charles. We're treated like second-class citizens going to England, that we're aliens, because and same with New Zealanders as well. But if you come from India
there used to be a special line for Commonwealth countries.
They treat you like you're an alien, even though we've got that George Cross on our flag. So America's doing the same thing as England's done before. Now I think you're going to see that becoming a main story soon, and I can't believe it hasn't been a story. Not that I'm really studying the media at the moment, but that's really big. That means that people like Harvard educated ex-American are saying you can't come in.
That might have been on A Current Affair or one of those type of shows,
should be.
Maybe. Because that's crazy, isn't it? Like, and the fact that citizens of the US are too scared to leave their own country.
Wow.
Because they're not sure. They're prisoners.
Well, you know, right now, if what I'm picking up of, you know, hearing stories about what the, you know, America's, you know, the other one's doing the attack, I guarantee you the other one's attacking Iran, and it's not the Israelis, it'll be they'll just probably use them as a scapegoat, as usual. But want to get in there. There's no McDonald's in Iran. There's no YouTube or Pornhub on the internet in Iran. They want that to happen, and that's what they're up to. They're trying to their last gasp for being impressive is to take over the last. I think there's only Iran and Syria. Well, maybe Syria's already gone. Syria's gone, so Iran's like one of the last countries left, yeah.
Yeah, one of the...
Fascinating. Fascinating. Hey, this is a total exclusive on the Rick and Rollo show. This...
Yeah, I thought you guys would be interested.
I'm shocked, though, that particularly someone that went to Harvard and is, you know, obviously is very smart. You know, he's not like what you call a vagrant ice dealer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not like he's...
And 80 years of age... It's like fucking hell.
I don't even understand why they would want you to renounce your other citizenship.
It sounds like something's going down.
Weird.
Oh,
something weird going on there. Because then what? He's got to get a visa to come to Australia? Like, makes no sense.
Or they can swap things over and make it hard for you. So basically, you can become a non-entity. If your passport expires at the same time, because they're for the grace of God, going me, because I'm a New Zealand citizen, but I'm a a permanent resident because I came here in the 80s. But the same thing was Australia's done some strange things as well to New Zealand.
Yeah, they'll deport you if you get out of line.
Hey, well, after my holiday, let me just say this: after my holiday, I don't care. I'm quite happy to go back there. I thought Wellington was absolutely fantastic and Whanganui. It's a really cool place. It's on its way. I'm sure they're going to do something nasty over there, but I don't know if you've been there yet, but it's different, completely different to I can't stand Auckland and that top of the North Island. I think I could easily, sounds like the South Island's more me and Wellington. If I have to go back, I'll be prepared to do it. If I don't think they're going to do that to us yet.
Nah.
Well, I could get sent back to England.
Yeah, send you back. God, that'd be a shock, wouldn't it? Completely different place.
Well, that was really cool. Thank you, Christy, for that.
It's all right. I just thought you guys would be interested. So.
I'm 100% interested in that. That's really big stuff. Big stuff. So thank you very much. Christy,
you're a
cub journalist. Christy.
There you go.
Be told.
You heard it here first. That'll be you're gonna pay me commission later.
Yeah, Rollo, send us some more money.
All right, I'll put him back on. Bye.
All right. All right. Thanks, Christy.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's amazing. That's amazing, man.
Yeah, this is
that amazing?
Yeah.
Mm. Well done, Christy. It could be the Rick and Christy show. The Rick and Christy show.
Yeah.
We've done Rick and Jolo and Rick and Christy. There you go.
You got it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, Rollo, so now speaking of deaths, you were before. So Brian Wilson, he was 80 something or 82 or such, something of that nature.
82. He died on the 11th. Would you believe it? The 11th of June. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. 2025. Yeah.
6/11. So, yeah,
and he was the Uber talent. He was. He had a lot of issues mental with issues. Mental issues, but
he's another one who had. I think he had his father was really nasty to him, like Michael Jackson.
I think
it was a similar thing, and he ended up what you call schizophrenia.
Yeah.
And he had loads and loads of mental issues, but he's the guy that they allegedly claim is the cleverest guy in the Beach Boys that came up with all the theremin. Remember, so he used the theremin, that weird instrument that you kind of use.
With good vibrations.
I'm suggesting, because I know for a fact that it's well known that the Wrecking Crew, which was Hal Blaine, Glenn Campbell, a chick that played bass, and that's why I'm positive that the fact that I never knew her name, that you would think a female that actually played bass and wrote all the bass notes on, say, 80% of everything you ever heard in the 60s is not a well-known name. The fact they were hiding the Wrecking Crew. They did not want everyone to know that there was a group of four or five musicians playing almost everything that came out of American studios. Another four that played, the guy that played, that Booker T and the MGs, they played the American, the soul stuff was all Booker T and the MGs. The pop stuff was the Wrecking Crew. All the music. Now, the fact that this female is almost unknown, unless, you know, Hal Blaine's famous, the drummer. When you listen to anything from...
I'm so shallow. I like California Girls. David Lee Roth's version is pretty awesome too. But Seven USA, you know, I like the simple ones, whereas...
I could have been a member.
The Pet Sounds ones where when Brian was on his own. Because Brian apparently just didn't go on tour.
He was living at home sitting in the back store.
Yeah.
He was sitting in a home. He had a sand pit, literally. I remember the story about him sitting in a sand pit playing with toys and stuff. Like, they really made him out to be mentally ill, but he was a really strange kind of guy. But was he the, you know, there could have been all sorts of malfeasance involved with them, you know, because you know that the Beach Boys are tied in with the Manson, you know.
But those beautiful harmonies, like the BG harmonies, just different. Everyone loves harmonies like that.
It's great music. It isn't like, I mean, I'm not a big Beach Boy. Am I a Beach Boys fan? I like some of their stuff. I'm telling you that. I'll say that Good Vibrations is one of the greatest songs. I'd put that way above Stairway to Heaven, because I know that Stairway to Heaven, a lot of the stuff stolen. They stole the intro. But if you listen to Good Vibrations,
Wouldn't It Be Nice?
God only knows
is number three. Yep. Don't Worry, Baby. Seven USA, In My Room, Good Vibrations, Sloop, John B.
Yep.
Help Me, Rhonda, Barbara,
Rhonda is a friend of the person they're singing about.
Yeah.
It was a friend of Alan Jones's. Can you believe that? The good cigarette.
Alan Jones. Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, so apparently this Rhonda, she was something to do with athletics or whatever. Brian Wilson knew her, and Alan Jones used to talk to her on his show regularly. So Rhonda, help me, Rhonda.
Every time I think of Alan Jones, I can't think of anything else. But Gloria, do you give me my number? Yeah, Laura Branigan. But sorry, yeah, but keep going. Yeah, look. If we're going to talk about music,
we've got exclusives. We've got it's a good show, Rollo. This is the greatest show.
Yeah, ever. It is. It's a great show.
Frank the Salt Guy would be impressed with the greatest show ever done ever.
Well, we've had the best. We've had the best. like, hello, Christy, are you there? No, she's gone.
Rollo. I have to tell you, big shout out to Papa Museum of the Wellington.
Oh, yes.
That I went in there because I've never been there before. maybe when I was very tired. I've never been there. Get this. They've got a Gallipoli a thing on just Gallipoli. And guess who did it? Peter Jackson from the Lord of the Rings. Weta Studios put in an installation into Papa. That's TE/PAPA, like Papa. And I'm telling you, man, I was just fucking blown away. And apparently it won the best exhibition in the world about 5 years ago when it first came out. And get this. You go into each different room, you know, Gallipoli, which was how Israel got formed. The British sent the New Zealanders and the Australians, the Anzacs, into Turkey by mistake, and half of them got slaughtered.
That's nice.
And then they went through that, and then they routed the kicked the Turks out of Beersheba, which is Israel. And the whole story is fantastic. I had a relative on my father's side that got his head, all got badly shot up and died on the one of the charges there. Now, this when you walk into this room, the first room, they've got, I kid you not, 20 foot high, fully, like, this is Weta, WETA Studios, have built these life-size humans. There are soldiers in a machine gun post, a nurse crying, reading a letter home or whatever, or reading her letter home. 20 foot high, hyper-realistic. These look like giants. You'd swear to God it was a real person sitting there, 20 feet high. I've never seen anything like it. It's like, I was like, fucking hell. And I think they use pig skin on their hands. Like there's wrinkles. They got sweat beads. There's flies on one of them's got a wound on his hands with flies all over him. These are 20 foot high, hyper realistic models of humans. And each room that you go into as you go through this thing and you come out at the end, I was like, fucking hell. And I went up to the two guys, running the show. I said, man, I've been to the Imperial War Museum. We're not on fake holidays here, luckily. There's no doubt that Gallipoli. You're listening to
Rick and Roller.
Rick and Roller.
Rick and Roller.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation
or your affiliation
on truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Speaking on the Rick and Rollo episode number 34 on the 14th of June, 2025. And we're just talking about all sorts of stuff. And Rollo, how are you? And Rollo,
welcome back.
When are you going to move into your new house?
Can I sing that song again? Want to sing it back. Welcome back.
Do you know who sang the original version of that?
It was something to do with Welcome Back, Cotter.
Cotter, yeah, great show.
With
Gabe Kaplan.
Gabe Kaplan, that's right, who's still with us. And John Travolta's still with us.
Vinnie Barbarino.
I'm not sure.
Vinnie Barbarino.
I love that. I love that show. But I love the song. Welcome back. So welcome back to you.
That was that famous American songwriter that wrote fucking every fucking... He was in this Toy Story stuff as well.
Oh!
What's his name? Can't remember. And he sang that, I'm Short People.
His name's Wayne Newton.
No, Wayne Newton. No. No fucking hell. Wayne Newton couldn't write a song if he tried.
Well,
Well, the guy that sung what I'm talking about, who wrote Short People. Short People.
I love that. Can you get away with that song these days?
Actually, you probably could. You probably could.
Hold on, let me look that up. Yeah, who wrote that?
Famous American songwriter.
Yeah,
at least it's better than his name's not so bad. It's not so bad, but forgetting A being served in 2 weeks ago, that is unforgivable.
Oh, were we homeless on that? Yeah, I know. Yeah. we'd had a few.
Yeah, hang on. Without Google, without AI, I'll try to remember the name. He was an American songwriter, still alive, and he wrote some amazing stuff for Toy Story.
We're not going out with that. His name was Randy Newman.
Randy Newman.
1977. Yeah. Yeah.
Hello, Newman. Hello, Newman.
He goes, Short People. Got no reason to live. Okay, the full lyrics.
You know what he They got little hands, little eyes, and they walk around telling great big lies.
They got little noses, tiny little teeth. But they're nasty little feet.
Is that what he says? Nasty little feet.
Oh yeah.
Can you imagine? You'd get jailed. You'd probably get jailed if you wrote a song like that. Hating Short People. Danny DeVito would sue.
Oh, Danny DeVito's got the greatest sense of humor of all time. I think that made his whole career as being a little shorty.
Did you ever watch Taxi? Did you watch Taxi, the TV show?
I was a little bit too young for that because I've got five years on me. Yeah, you got five years on me. Yeah. Well,
Taxi.
I do remember that my favorite star of Taxi.
I'll name it. It was in that movie, just by coincidence, he turns up the main guy. What's his name? I can't remember his name. They're all Jewish or thereabouts.
I can go through all of them. But my favorite.
Yeah, but you know the most important one is Reverend Jim. Reverend Jim Who was played by the guy that played on.
I always thought it was Andy Kaufman or the professor from Back to the Future.
That was Reverend Jim. He played Acid Casualty.
Well, his name's Lloyd. Is it Lloyd?
Christopher Lloyd. Yeah. So he played Reverend Jim. But the guy.
He was also in with Jack Nicholson, the one flew. He was like. Chris Lloyd is the classic stars of Taxi, right? But Judd Hirsch was in
I was going to call it Invasion Day, but what was it called when the aliens come and attack the Earth, which is not a whole 9/11 pre-programming. Do they call it Invasion Day? What's that movie? One of the biggest science fiction movies ever.
Oh yeah, Will Smith, with Will Smith. What's that called?
Judd Hirsch was playing Jeff Goldblum's father.
I love so that movie. Yeah.
What was it called? Was it Invasion Day? No.
Independence Day. There you go.
Independence Day would have to be next to Christopher Lloyd's performance as the professor in Back to the Future.
Who played the president in Independence Day? I think it was...
He's dead now.
Bill Pullman.
Didn't he die?
No, he's still with us.
Yeah. He's another one. These are all. So Taxi had so many incredible.
Yeah, well, it was produced by James L. Brooks, who did one of my favorite TV shows back in the 60s, was what was called Maxwell Smart, with Barbara Feldon.
Did James L. Brooks do that?
He did The Simpsons as well, didn't he?
He might have done. I think he might have done. James L. Brooks is a Metascript legend.
Legend. Yeah. But they're all Jewish, but there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I'm just saying they seem to get the best job.
Look at the Taxi, like Tony Danza. Remember him? Like Tony Danza. He played Tony in like three or four. Every TV show he played, his name was Tony, so he didn't have to worry about his name.
His shows were always on TV, big shows. I love that, you know, Misheard Lyrics, you know, the Elton John song, Tiny Dancer. There's so many people.
Why not?
Or sure that it said... it's Tony Danza instead of Tiny Dancer. Mm-hmm. And it's really funny. Mm-hmm. If you listen to the song and think of Tony Danza being swapped for that lyric of Tiny Dancer, which was about the songwriter, Elton John's songwriter, Bernie Taupin's girlfriend was a ballet dancer. Allegedly. This is the backstory. This is the Rick and Rollo.
We're going to do nostalgia. We are doing it. When you got back from New Zealand, let me just pull this up. Here we go.
Roll.
Now it's called you had a cafe that shut. Now, let me read this. My regular cafe has decided to shut permanently, so I have to go to another one. With no newspapers, but I love the amateur commentator that goes through the papers. And here it adds the comments I agree with. So it's got during Morrison devalues or something.
ScoMo.
I'll tell you the story, Rollo.
I went to my cafe that I was in there on. This is the one where I read the newspapers for free, right? They always have three. The Sydney Morning Herald, the Daily Telegraph, and the Australian are always sitting on the table in this cafe I go to. And I get the breakfast are cheap. You know, I get a double egg roll for $8 and a pot of tea. Well, I have started drinking coffee again, big exclusive. I'm drinking coffee again. And they've shut. I walked up to go in there and it said, "Dear customers, we've decided to close our little cafe down." And he's going back to Thailand, the guy that owned it. And I thought, why wouldn't you sell the cafe? Because it's always full of people. Why would you just close it and just fuck off like what he did? I would have sold it to someone else, but they've just closed it outright. So there's no more free newspapers for me to read in Rozelle or Balmain, wherever it is. Anyway. I went to another cafe my second cafe that I would go to if that one was shut, and they don't have new newspapers. They have people that have left their newspaper in there, so they're always a few days old. But there's someone in there that goes through the newspapers and writes comments on the news. And I agree with everything that he wrote. He always writes, "This guy's a cunt." That's what he always writes underneath.
Well, the funny is that there's four pictures of Morrison, and the first picture's got Crim, C-R-I-M on his forehead. And then, and the second one is in. And then the third Victor is all.
Al.
And then, oh, and then Al. The
criminal
with a cage over his, with a cage his over his mouth.
He's yeah, got the, criminal he's got the cunt. Sign. Yeah, criminal cunt. And now, and what he does is he goes, so every news, every story, if there's something that's relevant, he puts brackets around the comment.
Yeah.
But he actually goes through and edits as a truth person what they're saying. This, you should be reading this. And he goes through and edits everything. And I agree with every single thing that he edits. It's like,
yeah.
And I agree, Scott Morrison, this is the COVID Prime Minister
that
we had.
But the sad part is, obviously, is that this is my regular cafe that I decided to shut permanently. But you picked that paper up and you got like
at
something.
A new cafe.
My
new cafe. So it was an old newspaper. It was a 3-day old newspaper. But this guy, I say a guy, it'd be a guy, and it could be a woman.
They get that.
What they do is they leave a newspaper there full of comments and edits, and like nasty story things, true stories or true things written about the various people in these papers. So.
Yeah.
I'm just sad that I've lost my favourite cafe and I have to go for a new cafe.
The second that popped up on my phone, I was actually, one, happy that you'd made it back because we had a plane crash in India. The 787.
11, like. 11, 11. Can I just tell you now?
Right? It was 11.
One guy, Vishvosh.
I don't believe it. I just can't believe that anyone survived that crash.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And he was walking down the road. He said he got flicked out. But, you know, the plane hit some building. And then, so the plane was 11 years old. He was sitting in seat 11A. It happened at this exact, like, there was about 5 11s involved. Particular story. His name was Vishvosh, like wishy washy.
There's no way. There's no way you're surviving that.
And walking, and all these people walking behind him and interviewing him. Yeah. And I was thinking, if you've just been flicked out of a plane and you know it's just blown up and everyone else is dead except for you, would you be just walking down the road, chatting like he kind of, you know? It sounded very suspicious, Rollo. I'll have to say.
They had his ticket, pretty much.
Mm.
And it reminded me of the passport. You know, the passport of the plane.
He had a suit made out of. suit made out of passports.
Yeah.
So he was indestructible. speaking of. Indestructible. Well, have you ever seen that? We're talking about movies and stuff. You know, the Indian guy. What's his name? The director of The Sixth Sense.
One of my favorite. I love that. What's his name? Who directed The Sixth Sense?
But he also did that movie about when it stars your mate, the Joker.
His name was M. Night. M. Night Shyamalan.
So M. Night Shyamalan also directed that movie that IPS always brings up quite regularly, and it's quite true about The Village.
I love that movie too. The Village, I loved it.
I've lost myself actually, but what was I talking about? So I had something very
interesting. I don't know, but I think, well, did The Village have...
Well, it's another one, as we're talking about Taxi. It had so, no, it had the Joker, your mate, Joaquin Phoenix.
My mate. I love that guy. Yeah.
He was in The Village. But
what about your mate who actually played the Joker? He's the greatest
Heath Ledger, the greatest Joker.
I don't think there'll ever be a greater Joker than him.
I agree. And you know, Jack Nicholson said to him, don't soak it all in. He goes, you don't, He goes, you need to, you know, he actually warned him. He said, don't take it so seriously, you know, like.
I think something like that, yeah.
He, no, he did say that to him. He said, like, I he, think, like what, you know, he said, Jack Nicholson said, I warned him.
I think his legend did. No, apparently what Heath Ledger, this is what I heard, what I've read, that he didn't want to be typecast. So he got he started off, how did he get started? Was it Neighbours or Home and Away? I can't remember. Was
Home
it?
And Away.
Home and Away. And then he went and then he got that 10 Things I Hate About You.
Two Hands was after or before?
No, Chris is saying.
Two Hands was first.
What was it? Two Hands?
It was Rose Byrne.
All right, Two Hands. All right.
This is, you know, when people talk about film stars being elite blooded and they have to be something, Rose Byrne has been in like the X-Men, etc. She's from Balmain. I know her brother. Right, and her father, and she's just a normal chick. Somehow, she become like quite a major movie star, but she's got no elite blood or anything like that, or you know, she's not blue blooded. But she, Rose, and she was her and Heath Ledger were the leads in Two Hands, in 1997.
I love that movie. Yeah, because Brian Brown, was he in that, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, but I'm not a big Brian Brown fan, but Heath Ledger is always watchable. Ten things I hate about you. That's his best, guaranteed. I can watch that movie and Christopher.
Would you watch the faggy one where he's like in a tent?
No, I'm not watching.
Because you're not into Poofters, right? Because but Hollywood
Brokeback Mountain.
Brokeback Mountain, yeah, where he's in a tent where the, you know,
with another guy I like the guy that he co-stars with sister. What's her name?
Go.
What? You know, it was
Go.
The actor that who keeps popping up in important movies. That he was the co-star of Brokeback Mountain. Very famous.
I'll look it up right here.
Brokeback Mountain. Good on you, Roller.
Yeah, it's all good. Okay.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Now, Maggie Gyllenhaal, I've always found attractive. I find her extremely
attractive. Yeah, well, she was the one that he stuck the knife in the mouth of her.
Yeah, in Joker.
In Joker, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. And so he played the gay with her brother.
That's awesome. Couple of
kissing poofters.
Yeah.
Cowboys.
Well,
there's nothing wrong with that, but Rollo, isn't it interesting that all these stars, if you play that game, 6 degrees of separation, it's like 2 degrees of separation with Metascript type movies. But that's what we're talking about here. Movies that are really important and stars, like, you know, Judd Hirsch that we talked about, Taxi, stars in the you know, with Christopher Lloyd, who played the professor and, you know, the,
he was.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Right, Friday the 13th of June.
Rollo.
2025.
It's Saturday the
14th of June. Saturday the 14th of June, not Friday the 13th of June. What is it about Friday the 13th that everyone's got an issue with?
It's because it's superstitious. Speaking of Stevie Wonder.
I kind of like Friday. What was it? What was his name? The who Jason. was Yeah, Jason Statham?
Boy.
No.
Jason Boyd.
I was joking. Jason Statham. Everyone loves Jason Statham. He's the biggest action hero there is.
I don't.
Why don't you like Jason Statham?
Oh, I just find him insipid. Well, I'll tell you what, though.
He's a tough guy. I liked him in Guy Ritchie's movie, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
And a few other ones. I'll tell you what he's done.
I love that one.
He's made male baldness a absolute fantastic thing. He actually is an action star that all the girls, and the girls do like him. There's no doubt about that. He's very popular.
Who would not?
I think he was an Olympian, a diver, I think it was an Olympic diver in England.
Look how weird. He's 57 years old. He's bald and he's proud of it. Okay, so here he goes. So it says Jason Statham is known for his tough, gritty, and violent characters in action films. Now, he's. I don't care about his net worth. I don't care about all of that. Okay, so, what do you want to know about him?
Was he an Olympic diver?
Okay, was Jason Statham
or skier? Or something?
Okay. Sorry. Was
noise? He's definitely an athlete.
No, let's do this.
Olympic, and then see if it says anything.
Let's do it. Here you go. Jason Statham was not an Olympian, though he did compete as a diver for England at the 1990 Commonwealth Games in Auckland.
Commonwealth Games, and that's I remember that in Auckland in 1990 something or other. In 1990 something. I remember that game.
Look, he also participated in the Olympic trials for the 1988-92 Summer Olympics and did not make the cut for the Olympic team. There you go. Well done, Rick.
He's not completely useless. No, he's an athletic guy. But he's actually made baldness sexy for females.
Yeah, but look at him. Look at him jumping off the Oh man, that's awesome! He did everything he needed to do to become not famous. I'm not sure if he wanted to be famous.
Anyone that stars in that series of movies that Sylvester Stallone, you know, that had every action star ever.
Oh yeah, wonderful film. I like the first one. What was it called? What were they called?
The Gullibles.
I'm a huge fan of Stallone. I mean that Tulsa King. When he went back to TV, Tulsa King was just fantastic. The Expendables.
And that had, so Jason Statham is actually one of the main stars in every single one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. But
they managed to bring in Sylvester Stallone with every, like, you know, even had Han Solo, Arnold Schwarzenegger came in and did a cameo.
And Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson did a cameo. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is unheard of to get that many egos on a film set. It absolutely baffles me to know how much groveling that, you know, and I've seen a few film sets before.
Yeah.
To get that many famous people, because you know what they do? They go, I'll only be on that film if I have the biggest trailer. I want my trailer to be bigger than Van Damme's trailer, you know, which is literally what these guys will do, or their agents will do it. You know, they'll say he'll only appear if he's got top billing above Van Damme or what's his name?
Apparently, the one that I heard was just the biggest pain in the ass. And I'm sorry to say this, but let's go through them to start with. Steve, you can guess out of all of these. So it starts with Sylvester Stallone, and then Jason Statham, Dolph Lundgren, Jet Li.
Yep.
Now, Bruce Willis.
Yep.
He was the one that asked for too much money for too little time.
Exactly. So I'm telling you that I've never seen a movie that had that many egos on one film. That's a miracle.
It could go on. Here we go. We got Arnold Schwarzenegger, Terry Crews, Wesley Snipes, Randy Couture, Mickey Rourke, Mel Gibson, Harrison Ford, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Chuck Norris, Antonio Banderas, Liam Hemsworth.
Oh man, it's Charisma
Carpenter, Glenn Power, Steve Austin, Kellen Lutz,
Stone Cold,
Eric Roberts, Ronda Rousey, Scott Atkins, David Yeas, Victor Ortiz, Kelsey Grammer. We've got fucking Gary Daniels, Armin Joseph. You got Robert Duvall. Amanda Ohms. We've got Danny Trejo.
Anyone that was anyone in an action movie was in an Expendables movie. And I'm baffled that they managed to pull them off, because literally you've got egos of the highest magnitude and agents that back that. So that, it's not so much the actors, it's the agents that say, Van Damme will never be in a movie with Steven Seagal, for instance. They hate each other. And Seagal,
a lot of people Steven Seagal.
I find his stuff so funny that I get more entertainment.
I loved the 1992 film. What was it called? Under Siege. Swear to God.
Tommy Lee Jones. Gary Busey is still alive. He looks fucking terrifying, man. Have you seen what Gary Busey looks like? And you guess how much cocaine that guy shoveled up his nose? I think he beats all comers. All comers.
More than... how is he still alive? Like seriously, one of my favorite... when it comes to my favorite cocaine freak was... a woman, actually, was Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, no,
apparently, she was.
She's big.
She was the top one in Hollywood. Yeah, she can do it all.
The chick from Fleetwood Mac beats her. What's her name? And she actually coming on.
Stevie Nicks.
She said, I carried a gram of coke everywhere in my boot. She said, in my boot. And I went, in my boot. And she meant upper ass.
Yeah, when Lizzie Buckingham said to us, what was it? What did he say?
Well, Lizzie Buckingham was her partner for quite a long time.
What's the funniest thing he said to her? I can't remember what it was, but I remember those two.
The story I heard when I was working in the film industry by people that come here was that same story I don't think she denies it, that someone walked into the room backstage and there was a roadie blowing coke up her rectum with a...
why not?
Yeah, because she'd blown it, her nose was... her septum had been destroyed, and she had a roadie blowing coke up her bottom. I'll say that.
To get a fix.
Yeah, because she was shafting coke up her bottom.
Mm.
There you go.
What's that called? It's called
shafting.
No, but in certain
well, it works.
What's it called? It's called. You're supposed to take like some medications. You're supposed to take it
orally or anally.
Suppository. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. If you throw it up there, but if you throw a condom full of heroin, say. Or whatever, cocaine, and the condom breaks, and the condom breaks while it's in your ass.
You always know that
you're going to die, pretty much.
Yeah, I know that, but you know that Joel's not on a show when we say things like we're saying, and there would be straight away there would have been one of your grades, guaranteed. So definitely not.
What are my grades? I don't know.
No. Well, when we're discussing the subject, you'll always find Joel will always put cocaine, you know, one of his.
I gotcha. Yeah. He's not here with us. He's not here with us tonight.
Right, but
there are two songs that I'd love him to play tonight. The first one would be, well, obviously Brian Wilson dying. I would. What song would you go if it was Brian Wilson?
Honest, no, I'd play. Look,
would it be Good Vibrations or would it be Surfing USA?
Song. No, I don't like Surfing USA at all. Not all right.
Do you think that? Well, what about or Kokomo? Would you go Kokomo?
I would play Kokomo. None of the Beach Boys had anything to do with it, written by, again, but some of the greatest, alleged songwriters ever. And that was, as I just mentioned before, that was Papa John Phillips, who was definitely in a military school and definitely up to no good. And you hear the rumors. Did you hear the rumors about, remember Mackenzie Phillips' daughter? And she used to be in that show. So Eddie Van Halen's wife and Mackenzie Phillips starred in a show called, I can't remember the name of the show. Look up Mackenzie Phillips and seems you're so good at it.
Yeah.
And this was a massive, massive show in the 70s, late 70s.
Mackenzie Phillips.
Yeah, star of, and so her co-star, there was two daughters and a single mother, and they were living in a house. It was a sitcom, but the very good looking one, Mackenzie Phillips. It was Valerie Bertinelli.
Right.
Valerie Bertinelli, and she married.
Mackenzie Phillips was born in 1959 as an American actress. Known for Carol Morrison in the film American Graffiti, in the sitcom One Day at a Time.
Okay, stop. One Day at a Time was a massive show that I can remember. You had to watch, everyone was. But Valerie Bertinelli played her younger sister, and she was extraordinarily good looking. She married Eddie Van Halen, and they were married up until probably 20 years ago or whatever, and he died 5 years ago.
Can I say that? Well, Wikipedia disagrees with you. It says she married Jeff Sessler.
No.
And a guy called Michael
Barrington. No, Valerie Bertinelli married Eddie Van Halen.
Valerie Bertinelli.
Her co-star of One Day at a Time. Mm. But anyway, what I'm saying, though, Rollo, what I'm saying is that the root, it's out there that John Phillips was sleeping with his own daughter.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Literally. And really bad. Like fucking weird stuff. So Mackenzie Phillips and her father had a relationship. Ooh. And John Phillips, who wrote Kokomo and so many songs.
Oh, yeah, you got that right.
Mm. Oh, my. He wrote so many great songs back in the, you know, particularly Mama Cass and that band, Michelle Phillips.
Oh, right.
And Denny, whatever his name is. Yeah, good stuff.
A lot of famous people do some pretty.
Really? Crazy. Yeah, but not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right.
Level. John Phillips took it to a different level, for sure.
I don't think Eddie's still with us.
Eddie's dead. Eddie Van Halen's dead. Yep.
Yeah, he died, didn't he?
He chain smoked 60 cigarettes a day or more.
Mm.
He's not with us. What a coincidence. Now, Rollo, before we go, I'm going to suggest they're coming after smokers, right? They're coming up. There's some new thing coming in for that. Every cigarette has to have a warning on it. Every cigarette, literally. And this is Australia, I think. It could be New Zealand because I've been there.
Yeah, they're going to put the down on the cigarette, written down on the cigarette, every cigarette's doing you damage or something.
On the cigarette. This is Australia, right? There's a different level. We're in Big Brother land here, be told.
Yeah, now, let me read it.
Go.
Yeah, I'll look it up right now.
Very interesting.
I saw that the other day that they're going to write messages down each cigarette. Yeah. All right. Keep going.
No, what I'm saying is that they're also bringing up there's a new variant of COVID in China. Okay. So they're telling you to get more vaccines.
NB.1.8.1.
Whatever.
They want to do COVID 2.0. I know it.
Yep.
Messages.
I don't think they're going to get away with it, though. I know too many people, and I'll talk about one of the stories I heard in New Zealand when I was back there.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Well, I was up at in Whanganui, or Whanganui, they're going to change the spelling again, back again. And we went up to this amazing old, very much what I would call, as a conspiracy theorist, a Tartarian strange, unusual structure on top of Whanganui's, which is the oldest, one of the oldest places in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother and I drove up. No, it wasn't my brother. It was my kids. And I said, I've got to go and see the water tower of Whanganui. I remember it when I was a kid. Got to go and see it. We drove up there and I got there and there's all these signs around warning you can't go in there around the base of this huge, big, brick, incredible designed water tower. And I looked and they've got massive big cables running up the top. So I've turned this water tower into a smart tower for 5G or 6G, whatever's coming. And they're saying you can't go in there, it's dangerous. And I was thinking, well, if it's dangerous to go in there, why have we got these little black rectangle things with glass on them in our pockets or in our ears. And so they're turning this. Anyway, there was a guy. Sorry, move forward. There was a guy roaming around with his little dog with a little jacket on, a little dog like Rosie, but it was a similar size dog.
Oh, yeah.
To Rosie. And you're listening?
Rig and roll. Rig and roll. Roll.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Oh, go, Roller.
G'day, mate. Yeah, so, Saturday, the 14th of June, 2025, Rick and Roller Nostalgia Hour. 34, would you believe it? 34, which is, again, remember, it is the ninth of the Fibonacci sequence.
And it's also number seven. It's also number seven, Rollo. It's 3 and 4 and 7. It's weird. That's weird. That's annoying. Anyway, So I walked up. There was a guy. I'm just going back to what we're talking about before.
Sure.
I saw there was a guy walking his little dog, and she had a little beautiful little jacket, and my daughter went, oh, she's so cute, and she went up and talked to him. And I went up as well, and I said, what do you think about – and I pointed to all these cables that are just being run up the side of the building, and he goes, look, he goes, I brought up my and he mentioned I brought up my meter to check out the EMFs, and he goes, it's not that bad at the moment. And I went – straight away I went – I knew straight away, anti-vax, guaranteed this guy would not be part of the vaccination thing. And sure enough, he was a physiotherapist, lost his job because he wouldn't get vaccinated. And he said, Jab Cinder just tried to destroy me, but I've ended up practicing. And as soon as he said, Jab Cinder, I knew, bing, oh, this guy I'll get on with. And he lost his job. So many people lost their jobs in New Zealand over COVID. Everyone I met that was aware and awake has lost their job and all having to do different things, or that they're practicing from home. And this guy's a physiotherapist. He's practicing from his own house. He said it's great. He appreciates things are better now for him. But he said, I've lost myself here. But anyway.
You're right, man.
Anyway, so I went back to my brother's place afterwards, and I said, I bumped into a guy up on the top of the water tower with a little dog, and my brother said, oh, no, that's one of my friends. And he goes, well, I didn't invite him to the wedding because I wasn't sure how, you know. Basically, he thought because he was an anti-vaxxer, he might not have got on with other people there. And I thought, bang. And I said, look, send him a message and tell him that I'm your brother. He was talking to today, and that was fantastic. So I bumped into a proper guy that was totally awake. So there are people out there. New Zealand was full of them, but they went through it. I'd say Melbourne levels in New Zealand, Melbourne levels, what they did over there to the public. And they are trying to pull it off again. I'm quite sure they're going to have a go. It scares me. Not scares me, but it's like, would they really be that stupid to try and pull this off again?
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, they're up for it. Well, if we're not staying on top of it.
Well, if we allow it to happen, it's our fault. But when I spoke to people, who was I speaking to? I know it was over here. The week before I went back to New Zealand, I caught up with people that I talked about the other day. We went to Old Bar and caught up with some people. And three of the people at the table said, I only took it because I had to for my job. And they went, and that's what they said. If I didn't do it, I wouldn't be able to work. And I was like, I would rather not work and be on the dole or begging than get that thing stuck in my arm.
Yeah.
But that's what they've done. They scare people, and most people are too scared to stand up or do what you did, Rollo. But not that you. So you didn't need to go to work. Christy didn't go and take it though, and she could work from home.
That's right.
If you had,
but there are people that she knows that, and this is the tragic part that have taken it. Yeah, and I've been damaged by it. But I'll put it up. Christy, do you want to talk about people who've taken? He doesn't want to talk about that.
No. But
people have taken it and been damaged by it. And
yes,
it's not easy to get money. Yeah, they drop dead. They drop dead. Look, let me go to the COVID.
Lest we forget. And look at that 24-year-old Irish chick. That did a marathon and fell over and collapsed and had a heart attack.
Yeah, that's right.
But all I know is that I see on Facebook, we'll give it another 20 minutes or 10 minutes, whatever you're up to, but we'll close up soon. We have to think of a song to end with, though.
I've got the song. The song I want to end with is definitely, it's called by Dazzle Munro. Sleaford Mods. He mixed it with Lena Lovett.
You've got to go with that. Roll it, 100%. Have you found a good copy of it? Because the one I found is
I just sent it. I sent it to Velocet right now.
Velocet, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. So that redeemed. So I've had Led Zeppelin redeemed to me this week and Sleaford Mods. I was getting a bit sick of them, to be honest, because I thought that it's like Amel and the Sniffers are going to become huge. I'm telling you, man.
Well,
they are going to become huge.
Amel and the Sniffers got on with Sleaford Mods. Yes, Mods huge as well.
Time, big time. Massive. Well, and they're both the same.
Apparently, get this right. This Dazzle Munro,
he's fantastic.
He just did it he put it on YouTube, just a mix. Do you see how many views he's got now? It's like 50,000 views. It's awesome.
Sleaford Mods.
But the Sleaford Mods are already in taken it, and so has Lena Lovett.
Well,
love it too. She loves her crew. Love it too. So we're going to go with Dazzle Munro, the guy that he just said, I just did this as a little side project or whatever.
I saw it on Facebook. It was the Sleaford Mods actually shared it, because I'm on there.
Yeah, that's it. They shared it themselves. They were so happy with it.
Yeah, well, it's fantastic.
And the dude, Dazzle Munro, you read through his comment section. He was so honoured.
Yeah.
That they used. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he brought them together. So maybe we will get Sleaford Mods and Lena Lovett on stage together because of this guy.
Lena Lovett.
We'll go out with that.
About 70. We'll leave with that. That's awesome. I sent that in and I said, Rollo, we've got to go show that song. I forgot all about
it. It's called Lucky Discourse, so we'll go out with that. Oh, good on you, Rick. I'm glad that we have had a good time tonight.
Yeah, and thanks, Christy, for that big, fantastic exclusive that America is not letting in Australians. If they haven't done their passports properly, that actually were Americans before they. That's incredible. I'm baffled. Anyway, Rollo, do you want to? We'll end it. We can end it now. Send it off to Joel. Right, I'll speak to you.
Off to Joel.
I'll speak soon.
Yep. All right, mate.
Rick and Rollo number.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to fakeologist for a little bit.
We'll go to the after show. Yep.
I'm going out. Rick and Rollo, 34, be told. I'm back. This is the after show.
All right. Yeah, man. How good was that?
That was great. Hey, that was...
I love that Dazzle Munro, Sleaford Mods. My lucky numbers one.
We used to play that on the Fart Podcast all the time.
Yeah.
And I think we used to say that it was Sarah. It looked like Sarah, or it was like Sarah from Joel's.
His lovely wife. Yeah, she's lovely. I swear to God. Hey, do you remember when you guys coming up here?
When are you moving in?
Chrissy, when am I moving in?
When's she getting rid of you is a better way to say. Chrissy,
you ask her that yourself. That's hilarious.
When are you getting rid of Rollo? When are you getting rid of
Hello.
Hello. Are you getting rid of Rollo on the 23rd, or how long have you got put up with him?
So I think probably later that week I'll get rid of him.
That's good. I don't want to know how he's going to. Well, actually, he's a good cook as long as he starts eating for himself. You're going to have to go around and check that he's eating every
day. Yeah, I know.
Mm. And if he's got money.
He reckons he's just going to eat noodles.
I'm telling you now, there are people out there that are doing that.
I know.
ramen noodles, as long as you go to a proper Japanese place, that's not bad. But if you're going to sit there and eat pot noodles or whatever they are from the grocery store.
Yeah, I know, it's disgusting.
Just Google how bad they are for you. It's like there's no zero good things in them. And I know, I've checked it out, and it's like they are probably made of plastic, I would hazard a guess. Yeah,
I know. I think his main issue is going to be how is he going to control his alcohol consumption.
Well, it could be fun, is it looking at as a person that doesn't have to put up with it anymore, and see how bad he goes. But I think if he just needs a bit of direction every now and then, and Rollo have some.
Yeah, he's going to get a job.
I'm telling you now, I'll put money that the guy will never, ever work again unless the government come around with guns and make him march him off to a sandbag filling thing. They'll have to be standing there with guns on him and prodding him with bayonets from directly. I don't think he's
got he's got a plan. He wants to work in a bottle shop.
Well, you know what?
So he can get cheap alcohol.
I'd employ him as a salesman just to be able to go, so this is a vodka that gets you really drunk. That one there. Well, that one. Look, Christy, he could actually get a job in a bottle shop. We have to ask, what's his name? Young, is he still working?
Josh.
Is he still?
He was. Last I heard, he was working at a club.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, we've seen him
over it.
Yes, 2 years ago or a year ago, whatever it was.
Yeah. Long ago now.
How's Jo going?
Yeah, she's going good. She was working up in Tenerfield for 6 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, so she did that, and then she's come back home.
She's a kind of more specialised, whatever she does. What is she, X-rays or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah. All I say is, if Rollo gets, as long as he gets once a day, no problem. There is that thing that you can actually have that delivered food that comes. You just kind of prepare it yourself. You probably get a vegetarian option. That might be a good thing to look at for Rollo. I forget what it's called.
Yeah,
but,
you can get HelloFresh, and you can
So HelloFresh is ingredients. That's it. They don't actually cook it, but you can actually get ones that are pre-made things. You just put them in the oven.
Yeah, my sister gets like her microwave ones.
And to be honest, they're actually quite nice. I've had a few over the years or whatever. So they're not bad. But as long as it's easy and simple, I think you'll be all right. You'll just have to go and check regularly, and make sure Rosie's foods in the bit. I forget before we go. How is Rosie after his major surgery 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, she seems to be good. She's quite energetic now. So she's we took her for a walk today down near the lake, and she was trotting along pretty well.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really good.
Excellent result after all that drama a few weeks ago.
I know. So stressful.
Oh, my God. All right, Christy.
I'll put him back on.
Thank you, Christy.
Okay, see ya.
Bye. Rollo, are you?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah.
I'm going to go over to the fakeologist.
All right, man.
Because I'm not going to be on there
tomorrow. Oh, we're going to go over to the fakeologist. Are they working right now?
Possibly not, or possibly. But I'm not going to go on there tomorrow night because my son's and his new girlfriend, or not a new girlfriend, they've been together for 5 months, but they're coming to stay tomorrow night, so I won't be on tomorrow night.
All right.
So, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, if
this is the after show. I don't think this will probably be available to the general public. But yeah, I definitely want the Dazzle Munro sleeping mods with Lena Lubich. Lucky Discord.
Well, I love the end of this.
I love it too.
Jolo.
Jolo. If we're going out with that, we'll go out with that.
You said you made the load, and boy upset the coach when he came off the road. You're nitty and you said you knocked out 22, but I knew that wasn't right cause I was watching you. Who wants me? Don't talk about it, even if you're not free. Don't talk about it. A nail gun, and they all went through you slowly after snorting some. But even in the glare of hindsight, we never touch a real feeling, just the empty discourse. Who wants me? Don't talk about it, even after all. Don't talk about it. Appreciate the quiet smile, the yellow and the red under a sheet at night, as I smoked in time with the generator's eyes. My lucky number's two. The spirit tells me now, I must confess, the number one was down and number two is best. I wanna stay with you. Let's go.